Welcome to Intentionalist Podcast. This is episode 8. I'm glad that you're here again. I hope you have watched episode 1 all the way to episode 8. This is a platform for you to get empowered, inspired, and motivated to live an intentional life. I'm your host. My name is Coach Alice Muhirwa. I'm an executive coach. And today's episode is going to talk about mental health. How does a woman navigate mental health in her workspace, in her social obligations? And today's guest, I'm so honored and humbled to host this lady. She's a dear friend of mine. We share backgrounds, we share passion around elegance, etiquette. She's from East Africa. Can you guess who? Can you give a guess? Welcome to our podcast, Doreen.
Thank you.
I'm so honored to be here. Most of my followers are honored to have you on this podcast. I'm so happy that you're going to have this conversation on a topic that is so dear to us, which is mental health awareness, stigma, challenges that we do face in our everyday life or our family members. And I'm glad that you made it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Such a pleasure and honor.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Wow. Thank you so much, Alice, for having me. Yeah. It's such a honor. It's the sisterhood that we share. It feels like we are always in the same mind. Well, about me, a girl who grew up from a small, unpolished village. Mm-hmm. I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. I'm a sister. I'm a wife. I'm a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about manners and etiquette. Mm-hmm. Homemaking, entertainment, and every good thing that comes with so much grace.
Thank you so much for being here. I will link up her social media page so that you can go and give her a follow. Trust me, you need her. If you are not yet a follower to her, I invite you to do so. If you are everything, elegance, etiquette, good manners, homemaking, travel, because she also have a passion on traveling, we will discuss more about that. So tell me, when somebody speak about intentionality, what do you hear about that?
Self-love. Mm-hmm. Being intentional is choosing yourself and not, you know, I think we keep hearing choose yourself in a selfish way,
yes.
But it's choosing yourself so that you can also power into others.
Yes.
So when I hear intentional or being or intentionality, it's more of consideration and self-love.
Yes. When we invited you to join our conversation of today, we had a topic that is so dear to our heart, that is mental health, because not only on your social media, but also in your real life, mental health is something that you have been advocating for. Can you share to our listeners why this topic is a so dear topic to your heart?
Well, that is used for crying. mental health is really so dear to me.
Yes.
Because mostly of what it's associated with.
Yes.
I think for me, my greatest stake is that we need to demystify and break the barriers around mental health and social classes.
Yes.
I think for me, that's where my biggest passion is, that mental health is for everyone who has a functioning brain.
Yes.
2 years ago, when I was formally diagnosed with bipolar,
yes,
is that one of the things I struggled with, yes, was acceptance.
Yes.
Where I am today, if we meet and it come, it's not something I'm afraid to talk about, but also what I learned during that time was that people associated mental health with a certain class of life, and which is wrong.
Yeah, true.
I mean, so people would be like, she's doing so well.
Yeah.
She has it all.
Yeah.
But whoever carries a brain,
yes,
a functioning
a
brain, I mean, and for me, that released me. It set me free. I mean, I have embraced mental health, like I have embraced challenges of weight loss and how we talk about them freely.
Yes.
So for my passion is mainly about, let's break the stereotypes around mental health.
Yes.
I actually like to call it brain health.
Yes, true. It is.
Because every time I tell people, what makes you think that your leg will hurt, but your brain won't be hurt?
Yeah, true.
It does.
Yeah, it's like any other muscle that need maintenance.
Yes. So we need to talk about more of mental health.
Yes.
As adults, children, the elderly people, and most importantly, to know that it cuts across all of us.
Yes. Talking about your personal experience when it comes to realizing and having that acceptance that comes from awareness, can we go back slightly a bit and tell us what prompted the need even to go for a diagnosis? Because sometimes such kind of disease, you might even discover when it is too late. Were there moments where you feel like, by the way, I feel like I have a problem? Were there a scenario that hopped on you and then you found yourself in serial diagnosis? Was it a personal decision? Was it something that happened because it was too late and then now there could be a medical conclusion? Yeah.
I feel we need to embrace, again, intentionality. Yes. I love the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
Because you see, in most cases, generally we don't take like health checks serious until you're unwell.
Yes.
But I wish we become intentional. For example, like at the beginning of the year, how people say, every beginning of the year, I do whole body screening. Mm. I hope we can also embrace mental assessment at that point. Because I've had instances where I've gone back through and said, I wish I was assessed like in 2019.
Yes.
Because I had all these signs.
Yes.
I mean, you have, for example, I am more familiar with the spectrum on the spectrum of bipolar.
Yes.
It's a spectrum. It has extremes. It's bipolar 1, it's bipolar 2. Mm. But remember, there would be extremes of happiness.
Yes.
And extremes of sadness.
Yes.
And they flip in a second.
Yes.
And you know, if I would be like, you know, generally I'm a very high person.
Yes.
But you know also when it becomes too much,
yes,
then it's also not good.
Yes.
But you know, I even had this whole thing of saying, you know me, I'm the life
of the party. Yes.
I'll be shouting on top of my voice at 2 a.m. But you see, the problem is you'd come from that to extremely down.
To a total shutdown.
Yes. And then at the same time, they'd be like, you know, she flips. And then somehow you embrace it and you think it's a character.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not a trait. It's not like you're dark, you're light. It's not. So I wish I was assessed much earlier on. Because when I go back, even as a little girl, even in school, I had those extremes of, she's too hyper, she has high energy, she is like always on top of the game.
Yes.
But then at the same time, she flips, she cries, she's annoyed at anything. You know, people will label you as either you're sensitive,
you're too sensitive, you are spoiled as a child.
Yes, then you also start to think that maybe it could be just a trick. I remember I used to tell people, you know, for me, one of the things, I'm very anxious.
Yeah.
Anxiety is not a character, it's not a trait.
Yeah,
so true. I wish I had been assessed. But anyway, is that as life goes on, especially for so many challenges of mental health, as life goes on, life pressures or even other underlying, let's say, health conditions.
Yes.
So you have the issue, but it's really silent. It's not surfacing. Then all of a sudden you have a trigger.
Yes,
most it will be social.
Yes,
it will be health. So I think for me, finally, it had to take a breakdown.
Yes,
for me now to get assessed. So that's why I really advocate for people to get assessed much earlier. It doesn't hurt.
Yes,
when we screen for cancer, it's not because we have signs.
Mm.
It's preventive. So the same way, should you to talk to a mental health practitioner, get assessed, it doesn't hurt, just tell you that you're in good shape or I think you need support here and there.
Yeah, the reason why we chose to discuss this topic so deeply, it's because, as DK mentioned, she's one of the candidates who suffered and who went through healing, who is advocating, who is also on a continuous journey of living intentionally while reversing that condition. Myself, I'm a sister to two people in my family have had the similar condition as her. So she will either give us her input as someone who lived with a condition and how to reintegrate yourself, create awareness. And I will live also as a support system. What are we supposed to be doing if you live with a family member with the same condition? What kind of support, what kind of help do we think we need to give them? Because sometimes I happen to learn in the process that most of the things that we do are even hurtful to the people than bringing support, okay? Looking at what you went through as a person, what are the things that you wish your support system never did?
Quite a lot. Yeah. I think the first thing is labeling people as
fools.
You're always happy.
Yeah.
You're always in charge of everyone. Because yeah. That's me. Yeah, I take true. Care of everyone. Yeah. So the biggest thing is that people will tell you, and it's not people far away, it's people close to you. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, no, you're the one who is always organizing parties for us. Mm. So you can't be the one down. Mm. Get yourself up.
Yeah.
And you're like, do you know what it means to get myself up?
True.
So I think the biggest challenge is people rubbishing feelings.
Yeah, true.
So, for example, saying, people, you know, I'm feeling overwhelmed. This is what feels like, I know, it can be you.
Yeah.
Like, you've got it all. And the biggest thing that
you are naturally strong, you will get over it.
The thing that
is the mistake as we used to do, telling our sisters that, you have always gotten things. This one is, you will get back and you will move on for nothing. There's no need even to alert the office. You'll
pull through.
Yeah, you will pull through.
You've already pulled through. Yes,
exactly. So giving them false hope, I call it negative for positivity. Like you are trying to be positive in a situation.
Positive and then, toxicity.
Yes, it's toxic because you're trying to give someone false power that they don't have, and inwardly they are really feeling shattered.
Mm.
So that's mistake number one that we used to do, giving an unnecessary motivation.
Yes, sometimes you don't need you don't need that motivation.
Yeah, true.
Tell people the truth. I mean, in most cases people will be like, no, you've got it all.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we mix is throwing in the gratitude ticket.
Yeah, true.
Be grateful.
Yeah.
You know, people tell you, you have a job.
Yeah.
You have children. You actually have a good life.
Mm. And yours was not even that bad.
It's not that bad as you think. Yeah. Think about the other person who is back in the village. They don't have food.
They are on the street naked. There's nothing shameful you have done. It's contained.
It's not that I'm not grateful. Yeah, I am actually grateful.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know how I keep telling people that explaining mental health is like sunshine, rain, thunder, hailstorm, all at the same time.
True,
you are happy, you are grateful.
Yes.
You're happy that you have children, but at the same time, you're overwhelmed even to take care of those children.
You're not even sure if you're doing the right thing.
So the other mistake I found I've encountered, even as of today, as someone who lives on the spectrum of bipolar, is throwing the gratitude ticket. If you're not grateful for where you've come from, I am actually grateful.
Yes.
But at the same time, I am struggling.
Yeah, true.
And of course, gaslighting.
Yes, true.
There's this whole gaslighting of, you're just lazy, you're not putting in so much effort. I mean, but you are better. Are you sick again? It can't be. And that's why you see most people. By the way, one of the things that I need to tell you, and what I think that we need to demystify is that depression, for example, depression is a sign of so many mental challenges, but mental challenges have the cutest smile.
Yes.
The cutest outfit.
True.
The cutest or hair.
Yeah, true.
Those other people.
And the cutest composure.
Exactly.
Because yeah, I noticed, even for us to notice that one of our sisters had that. She's the least outspoken. She's just there, composed. She's a girl who has been being A+ throughout. She has gotten the best jobs in the country. It's like she's the one who has everything that everyone else could envy in the family. And when that happened, there was that stigma of, what triggered it? What? Because you have been always good. You have been having the best marriage, the best relationship, the best grade. And what is it? But you cannot really know what is going on in somebody's brain. It might not even the social condition. It might not even the work. All sometimes those are triggers. But something internally that is happening in somebody's head. So it is true what you're saying. I understand. It's just that probably we don't know. We don't know how to approach the experience. And how would you explain your personal experience in the workspace? How do we break the news that, hey, now I'm dealing with a mental health issue. I need a break, or I need to reconsider this contract. I need a prolonged, because this is not something that will be 1 month, a week, then you are in the hospital and then you come out. How has it been in your experience? Was it something that was easy to break? Or did you have to use a lawyer? Did you have to use your family? What happened?
I must say that whereas dealing with family is challenging, yes, dealing with workplaces is the most challenging thing, yes, regarding mental health.
Yes, true.
And where does it all stem from? The stigma.
Yes, true.
Because either someone will be like, oh, she just doesn't want to work. You know, probably she's been an underperformer. And yeah, because of those pressures, people keep giving and more, even when they are in a burnout.
Oh, yeah, true.
So, for example, I mean, when I was diagnosed with bipolar, I stayed in hospital for a long time, and then later got a diagnosis, which I also first contested myself.
Yeah, true.
Until I came to Nairobi, got a second opinion, and it just felt like now I can't have over 4 people saying the same.
Yeah.
But I remember even when I was in hospital, I didn't want people to come and see me.
Yeah, true.
I didn't want anybody like my to know. Work people. Yeah. I remember there's a time someone from work wanted to drop me. I said, no, it's okay. I'll find my way.
Mm.
You don't want people at work to associate you, because now people associate mental health struggles with either failure.
Yeah.
And again, if poor we go back to the whole idea of everyone who has a brain, it can be sick.
Yeah, true.
If we embrace that one principle, I want to tell you for a fact, Alice, we'll see mental health different.
Yeah, true.
I see it differently now. Where I see it now, I see it different.
Yes.
If HR practitioners look at mental health the same way they say workers here have insurance to cater for pregnancies and all sorts of things, if we look at it that way, we will have better communities, better working environments. Because the truth is, first of all, I don't know what the policy is like in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Like back home in Uganda, you'll find even medical insurance.
Mm.
There are not so many providers that cover mental health.
Mm.
So first of all, so it's expensive to cater for.
Yes.
Insurance looks at it as something.
Yes.
Like they would give maternity about $1,000 to $2,000.
Mm.
And you find psychiatric unit is given maybe like about $200 to $300.
And that is only one session.
And that's one session.
Yeah.
And probably you would end up in hospital.
Yes.
And spend as much money as even to $10,000 US dollar. So if we embraced brain health, like the same way we put departments, orthopedic, maternate, optical, workplaces would be a much better place.
Mm.
But also to be inclusive.
Yeah, true.
For example, as an HR practitioner, when do you have such assessments at work?
Yes.
Ideally, we need to move into policy
yes.
of inclusion, that public places, schools, workplaces should have a psychologist.
Yes, I agree.
Mean, if we had psychologists in schools, I don't know if you are seeing how much crisis we have in schools.
Yes.
With young people.
Yes.
With the bullying that happens, the esteem, the backgrounds, all the things come into play, the pressures from academics, kids break down.
Yeah.
If we embrace policies of that every place has a psychologist, there are constant assessments in workplaces, someone to talk to who is independent, because mostly you'll talk to your HR and then they'll tell your colleague of, you better work better than him because anytime we might lay them off because they're in a breakdown.
Yes.
If we talk to someone who is independent and non-judgmental and found a way of relaying this information professionally to your HR practitioner and say, I think we need to structure this person's work in a way that still, yes, gives...
She can deliver.
She can deliver, but also it's easy on her as she goes through this period. Because you see, for mental health, when you get aware and you learn how to manage, you're in a better place most of the time.
Yeah, true.
Also, you know how to deal with it. If you get onto medication.
I've seen when you are in such space, when you come back, you feel the obligation to deliver so much so that you can cover for what was not done when you're sick. And that is what usually even bring more damage to your brain because you always want to have that need of overcompensating. Would you share some tips for, especially to executives or people in leadership or just even people in business? How do you, which kind of coping mechanism, if you know you live with such condition, a bipolar or depression or any other condition that makes you sometimes even to go on those leaves, because they are imposed leaves. It is not you who have decided to just get sick. So how do you cope with that void of, I didn't perform this time, so when I'm coming back to work, what is the safest way to cope when you are compensating what you did not deliver in that time?
First of all, to people in leadership,
yes,
they need to know that they can also be those people.
Yes.
I think when we start
can
from...
Can you say that again?
I think when we start from there...
Yes.
And for me, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Where I sit, I lead a team of about 13 people.
Yes.
And I keep saying, I have been there.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes.
I see you.
Yes, true.
So when someone says they can't make it to work or they would prefer a certain schedule, hear them.
Yes.
We are quick to rubbish. But also, I hope people get to understand that much later, they start to regret why they didn't listen. So the moment we have this empathy of, this can be me.
Yes.
Then we will be even able to embrace all these coping mechanisms.
I agree with you 100%. Sometimes HR or any other team leader, we have this tendency to push the team toward the results and they miss on being human beings. We have this deadline to meet. We have this to do. We have these things to deliver. Where are you? So, and in most organization, that humanity, that human touch is lost in the pursuit of results. So how you as a team member who's not a leader, would you assertively communicate your desires without necessarily feeling the fear to be rejected or to be bullied or to be undermined because of your condition?
It takes us back to being intention.
Yeah.
The whole idea of this podcast, intentionality.
Yeah.
For example, you've been in a workplace and you notice.
Yes.
We need to go back to, as much as we're in a workplace, we are human. I think that's what etiquette teaches us, to be considerate of other people's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Before even us, if you notice someone, they've probably been moody at work.
Yes.
They have not been before.
Mm.
All of a sudden, they have a shift in behavior. And this is a two-way, by the way. For most challenge, there's so many mental health issues from bipolar, depression, schizophrenia. Mm. There's so many.
Yes.
So you will notice, for example, someone all of a sudden who is laid back, they're hyper.
Yes.
They're on top of the, on top of everyone, literally.
Yes.
They're doing excessive things, excessive behavior. It could be excessive partying. It could be excessive drinking. Mm. It could even be excessive work.
Or excessive talking. All of a sudden, they are open.
It can even be excessive working.
Yeah, true.
So you need to have a conversation with them. So I feel like that is what human resource is about.
Yeah.
Human interaction. Or all of a sudden, someone who was very productive, they're extremely low, mm. they are moody, they have change in behavior.
Mm.
Either they are losing weight or they are gaining weight
mm.
at the same time. So sudden changes.
Changes of sudden mood, prolonged. Change of
So being intentional behavior,
yeah.
is not saying that's their business.
Yeah,
true. All I need is output, result,
yeah.
is results. And we've had this attitude in workplaces yeah. of, she came by her desk, but she was crying the whole time. Well, it's none of my business.
Yeah, true.
But you see, if we create such a conducive environment, they should be able to either walk to the psychologist. The psychologist doesn't have to be a full-time employee. They could be coming in maybe twice in about 2 weeks. So that's when you need to have a honest conversation.
Yes.
So true. I feel like workplace assessment, mm. what we call appraisals,
yes.
should not be only focused on performance.
Yes.
Should be focused on such things.
Also on encountering behavior.
Yes. Yeah. So what is happening? You have a shift in behavior. We have new mothers getting back to work mm. and they have postpartum depression.
Yes, true.
And no one knows that this person has left her baby at home. They are only able to come because they didn't have even a meal for that day. That's why they have to come and work. But otherwise, they would have stayed an extra day at home. But if we put policies like mothers being able to pump at work,
mm.
have a flexible work schedule,
mm.
I mean, production will be high, yes. results will be high.
Yes.
But at the same time, we don't want to be a generation and a nation that is full of broken people.
Yeah, that just glorify results than yes, glorifying...
At what cost?
Yes,
at You know, what we have cost. A saying at home of,
yeah.
I finished the day, but at what cost?
Yeah, true.
So I feel like workplaces need to focus on inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you
and
for
being
that.
Being intentional.
Yeah, thank you for that input. I would like to know now, when it comes to social integration and inclusion, what are the role of families, of spouses, of friends when you have somebody who is so dear to you and they are living with this condition and you have to accommodate them when in their highs and in their lows? What has that been your experience?
By the way, I need to start by saying that the closest people,
yes,
your closest people will be the most toxic.
Yeah, true.
Or the most supportive.
Yes, true.
They will either break you or make you.
100%.
Because these are people who will tell you, no, you've got this. And, you know, people have the saying of, get yourself up.
Yeah.
Get yourself up.
Mm.
I do not know what, I wish they would know. That it takes such courage even for someone to tell you.
Yeah, true.
That they are struggling.
Yes.
Because that's why most...
Because that's the most vulnerable place
yes,
to
Yes, that's
be.
Why most people who struggle and finally even take their lives wear the cutest smiles. That's why everyone is always shocked at suicide.
Yes, true. Because it is the most yes. unexpected people
yes.
who suicide
Yes, I keep hearing
themselves.
People who yeah. say, there's no way she would take her life.
Yeah.
Do you know the courage it takes for someone to take their life?
Yeah.
So by the time someone tells you that, you know, I am struggling, by the time they tell you, it's the greatest courage. It's
yeah.
the greatest level of openness and being vulnerable.
Yeah, true.
So you better embrace them
mm-hmm.
than minimizing their pain.
Yeah.
So I have learned that family can either support you and set you off on a good way, or yes. it will break you.
Yeah, I agree with you. Family or friends. I remember I used to have a male friend who was so close to me. It was like the big brother I've never had. And this guy was looking outside as the strongest person I have ever known, the cutest smile. He would always tell me, hey, Alice, let's do this, let's do that. He was my motivator, telling me, oh, there is this course, there's this program, there's this, that. And that never I could ever have seen anything that any sign of brokenness, any sign of someone who need help. I've known him for quite some time. And when I was new in my second marriage, he would come and encourage me and say, this one, it's okay, it's nothing. He would even advocate on behalf of my partner. I say, these are small fights, it will end. And at any point, he never shared anything he was struggling with as a person. And one morning, he tells me, hey, I need to talk to you. I was heavily pregnant with my third born. I told him, hey, you don't even want to see this. I'm walking like a duck. I can't talk. I can't do anything. Let's meet maybe in a week time. Or if you want, you can just drive and come. We talk. Come home. The next day, it was on news that this guy has committed suicide. I broke down. I lived with that guilt of how did I not see this? How did I miss to see that he has been struggling all along? How did I even fetch strength from somebody who was also struggling? I lived with that fear for a very long time of not supporting or supplying the support that he needed in me, and of blindly not being the friend that the person needed. To the point where when somebody tells me that they're struggling with something and they open up about, I stop any other thing that I'm doing to offer the support that is needed. But out of fear again, you might overdo it. You understand? Yeah. You might overdo it. When it was my turn to deal with it within my family, the first thing was to seek help, to seek professional help from professionals and ask, now, since we have this condition, we all have to go to therapy to understand what to say, what to not say, the etiquette, the boundaries, the things you should not tell the person. Because when they come back, they will always ask you, how was I? What did I do? What did I say? So how to handle such a scenarios was a big deal for us. What are the advice and etiquette would you like to share to even support system like us? What is the ideal support that you think is needed from the people who struggle with mental health or who live with mental health condition? It's not a struggle. Yes. It's a condition. Yeah.
Yep. It's first of all, for people to know that some mental health conditions, you live with them forever.
Yes.
Some you learn how to manage through coping mechanisms, therapy, support. Some need medication.
Yes, true.
And I think this is where we need to embrace. And, you know, for me, my principle since then, yes, which I must say it also took me time. I don't want someone to be watching me today and say, oh, you woke up and disappear. Accepted.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a badge of honor. For yes, me, it's true. Just acceptance.
Yeah, true.
But also, I feel like for me, the way to overcome stigma yes. has been acceptance. So yes. what are you shaming me for?
Yes.
I'm not, first of all, me, I'm no longer ashamed of my condition. And that set me free. I remember when I'd been admitted and someone would come to see me in hospital, I'd be like, who told them?
Yeah.
And why are they here?
Yes.
And they're going to go and tell people. But at a certain point, through therapy, with my psychologist, my psychiatrist, both here and back home, I reached at a point and you feel it.
Yes.
It was so easy on me.
Yeah.
When people would say, oh, so what's wrong? You've been in hospital for a long time. I've had underlying stomach issues. I'd be like, you know, my stomach was acting up. No, but I was open to tell them, no, I've been in the psychiatric unit. I got into a mental breakdown,
yeah.
and I'm managing. I hope you take care of yourself. Yes. I've used that to encourage people to know that if you can take medication for stomach pain, you can take medication for mental illness, for your true. Brain health.
Yes.
So some conditions need medication. So if they tell you to take medicine, please take your medicine. And you know, people come and tell you all sorts of things of, yes. no, this does not need medication. Who said that you need medication for depression? But people do not know that some things are scientific, like your chemical imbalance in your brain.
Yeah,
I think at some point you need to bring a medical doctor to explain all this. Yeah. So for people to know that when someone is taking medication, you don't come and tell them that, you know, these are things you'd have done with praying. I respect religion, but whereas it's good to pray, but also let support people to take their medicine.
Yeah, true.
I must tell you that mental health is taxing for both the patient and caretakers.
Yeah, true.
I have had time where I've told my partner, it is okay.
Yes, true.
It is overwhelming. Please take care of yourself. Yeah. I have told my siblings.
Yes.
I've had the best support. I've told my siblings mm-hmm. and told them, please take care of yourselves.
Yes, true.
And I mean, as a first child, I struggled to put my guard down.
Yes.
For my siblings to accept, know. To
be helped.
Yes. Yeah. For my younger siblings to know that I struggle. But now I feel like they can be open, they can be vulnerable and tell me even when they're struggling.
Mm.
So I've told them, as caretakers, it's taxing. So as a caretaker, you also need to take care of yourself.
Mm.
But the etiquette around mental health, my God, nothing will trigger you like people and what they say. The most important thing, don't ask people what they're suffering from.
Yeah, true.
Until they're ready to talk about it.
Yeah, true.
Of she's in hospital. First of all, you need to understand if they are okay for you to visit them.
Yes.
Please ask.
Mm.
Don't just hear that so-and-so in hospital. You might be doing it in good faith, but I want people to understand that it can be such a trigger.
Yes.
I had a time when someone came to visit me and I just broke down and cried and told my doctors, I wish they didn't come. Because I knew what they were going to say. I know what they usually say.
Yeah.
They don't appreciate mental health.
Yes.
And indeed,
yeah.
all she said was, we all have problems. Don't think that you have the worst problem. That's like the worst thing that you can never tell someone struggling with mental health. So the first thing is that ask their family and say, is she open to visitors? If they tell you yes or no, please respect it. Don't take it as, oh, she's proud. No.
Mm.
Let's give people grace.
I agree with you. That family war, like family feud on, oh, let us send people to pray. Let us send people to pray. There were even incidents where people say, maybe we need to look at the traditional medicine. Maybe we need to, there is such a kind of feud where everyone feel like they have an idea or they have something ideal to propose for that particular condition. Please respect family boundaries, family space. If you are not invited, you are not invited. If you are not informed, thing that I've seen most of the time, and we took it as a principle, if any of those siblings get to have a moment in the hospital, we contain it among ourselves as a family. So sometimes you will find maybe an extended cousin, why didn't you tell me that so-and-so was in the hospital? Why did you? It's like, is it something to celebrate about?
Yes.
Is it a news that you feel like you are missing out? And I think that is also another boundary people need to know, that when someone is undergoing through something, let them be the one breaking the news to you. We are not here to always usher bad news, because we know it might take longer.
The other thing is that, so the first important thing is respect the patient.
Yes.
Especially visiting.
Yes.
I know that in our African culture, we embrace visiting. It's a good, warm thing, but at times when it's not necessary. So if they've said she wants time to rest, respect that.
Yeah.
Second, do not ask what people are suffering from at the right time. First of all, you're not a doctor.
Yes.
In most cases, people who ask are not doctors.
Yes.
do not ask until the patient is comfortable to talk about it, and in the right time,
yes,
when they are comfortable and you're the person supposed to know, you will know. But most people want gossip, and gossip clearing is bad manners.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
The third thing is that do not recommend, do not give unsolicited advice to people on the spectrum of mental health.
That
because we receive professional opinions.
Yes.
Most people, I believe, like at my level,
yes,
who have accepted and embraced their struggles, is that we seek professional advice.
Yes.
We seek professional opinions, and that's what I advise everyone. Speak to a professional. It's okay to speak to your family, eldest auntie, but don't give unsolicited opinion of, you know, my sister used to have this problem, but you know, for her, she stopped the medicine and we started giving her mint and it worked. It triggers us in the worst ways.
Yeah, true.
Unless I ask and say, Alice, how is your sister doing?
Yes.
What are the coping mechanisms?
Yes.
And then say she's been walking.
Yes.
Maybe you could, I will ask her if she's okay and you talk about it.
Yes.
So don't give unsolicited.
True.
Opinion.
I agree with you. And when it comes to resetting yourself, resetting your mood, what are the things that bring you back joy? Bring you, what are the hobbies that make you feel alive again and running into your fullest self?
First of all, I want to tell you that mental sickness will take you away from the things that you love. Actually, that's one of the things you need to look out for people
as an indicator
yeah. For someone who loved to cook,
yes,
all of a sudden they hate it,
yes,
or they are doing it excessively,
yes,
that's all they do morning to evening, that's excessiveness,
yes,
or someone who used to walk. I mean, I've transitioned from someone who used to work out, someone who has gained all this weight. Oh, please, the other thing we need to talk about is people to give comments about people's weight, especially people who are on mental illness medication.
Yes.
One of the biggest side effects of medication is your body holds weight.
Yes.
Water weight.
Yes.
Also, there is a lot of inflammation.
Yes.
Then there is also challenges with your insulin and your hormones.
Yes.
So one of the things that people need to desist from, and because most of us who are on this spectrum of mental illness, is that we struggle with esteem,
yes,
embracing ourselves. That's why people will disappear.
Yes.
Because every time you come, they'll be like, oh my God, you've gained so much weight, or you've lost so much weight. Again, I've told you there are extremes. There are people who will lose weight and there are people who will gain weight
excessively.
So I want you to know that mental illness will take you from the things that you love. I love flowers, but there are times when I didn't want to look at them.
Yeah, true.
So one of the best things you can never do for yourself on living with mental illness is therapy, is finding a psychologist and a professional therapist, and they redirect you.
Yes.
They break down things. For example, my sister keeps laughing. The other day we talked about how I will hold myself in a big struggle, but I will break down for the smallest thing. Like, I would look for my bra and it will be lost, and that will be the end of the day. Like, at that point,
you will break down.
Everything will stop. We can't go anywhere. Yeah. I'll make a fuss out of it. And
yeah, and it is to them, this was small, and you could have broken down to the biggest thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, the other things that people
know. So, that is that unpredictable.
It's unpredictable. But also, again, while we seek support,
yes,
caretakers also need support and need to be educated. For example, like when I was in hospital, the doctor had to call my family, first of all, to educate. Because for them, they don't understand how you're smiling and next you're crying.
Yes, true, I agree.
So the doctor had to break it down for them professionally, what to do, what to expect, and how to support.
Yes.
Of the things to look out for, how do you support her? How do you not be too much, but also how do you not be distant?
Yes.
So one of the things that can help you pick up again is therapy.
Yes.
It will redirect you. I mean, for me, cooking, hosting, entertaining was my thing.
Mm.
But all of a sudden, I hated it.
Yes.
Because of being very low.
Mm.
But now it's something I've picked up again, and I see every time when I do it, it makes me so happy. I'm working on a few routines of like exercising, taking a small walk, because the thing is that when the lowest phase hits, you can't even move yourself out of the bed. And you know, people keep saying, exercise because it will help your mental health. I don't know if they know that you actually need the energy to go.
To get up,
So what I have learned with my doctors is that when you're in your good phase, that's when they get you. When they give you all this coping mechanism. Yes. I remember one of the things my doctor said, don't come when you're bad. Come in the good time so that we prepare you, because bipolar fluctuates. Today you're here, the next day you dip to zero, to negative. So the coping mechanism I get in the good days, because there are days when I'm good and I come and tell you, I feel like everything is going on well. At times that goes, of course, excessively high. I feel like I don't need to sleep. I can be awake all night and all that. So they prepare you for those bad times. So I've redirected back into cooking, hosting, entertaining, a healthy regime. And that has really been such a great support.
Great. Thank you so much. What would you say on the other aspect that I've seen with mental health, bipolar, depression? There is this correlation of being a high-functioning human being and bipolarity or depression. Looking back into the indications of the signs that we overlooked as a family on certain things, you will find someone is doing this project, doing this, multitasking, and probably wanting excellence in ABCD. What is your take? What would you advise people who are naturally high-functioning human beings to embrace ease, so that at some point you prevent falling into a situation where you are now having a medical condition to treat?
I am a high functioning person.
Yes.
And that's how I ended up into a breakdown.
Yes.
So that's why I said, look out for everything that is a bit out of the way. Someone is having 10 projects. So for example, I'd work full time, morning to evening, come home, take care of the family. When everyone is in bed, pick my laptop, do my other business, sleep at 2, be up at 4.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes we take pride in that.
Yes, that I'm okay. I don't sleep.
Until it breaks you down. Yes, One of the things I learned, my doctor told me something, that sometimes when I catch myself falling back into it, I remember it, he said, the reason is that you rotate everything around you. When it rains, you think you're the reason.
Yes.
When it shines, you think you're the reason.
Yes.
So he would tell me, you've centered this whole world around you. And this 100%. Is where we need to move from. That actually it will rain, and it's not because of you. I would be frustrated.
Yeah.
How is this
happening? Detaching for yourself from the process.
Yes. So we need to learn.
Do you think it's something that is with upbringing, knowing your background or my sister's background, of being somebody who has to work hard to make a living, to live and reach where you need to be? There is that performance pressure that comes from childhood, that I have to study hard, I have to work hard. But looking back again, there are kids who were born in well-to-do families, families that that have everybody around them, families that have dad, mom, they are working, they are providing, they are present, but still, they still have that mental disease that will still happen. What are the social preventive measures that we can take as human beings as we conclude?
Definitely our upbringings.
Yes.
Play a lot in our mental health.
Yes.
Those are part of the triggers. That's why we say that some of the triggers will be like medical, it will be medical, let's say it will be like hormonal imbalance, or you'll have had like an underlying disease. And that's why they say that some of them are social.
Yes.
So that includes our backgrounds. You grow up from a background that puts you on unnecessary pressure, you have traumas, and that's why we say heal from your childhood traumas. It's not a fun thing to say.
It is not.
That's what therapy helps to unpack.
Yes.
For example, you grew up in a background where you never expressed fear.
Yeah, true.
How are you going? You lived with a parent who'd say, I will kill you at the thought, if I hear you did a mistake. So what does that mean? That in life you work.
You have no room for error.
You have no room for error. Yeah. And that's how we break down.
Yes.
That's how when the error comes, you center yourself.
Yes.
You're like, I think it was because of me.
Yes.
So I had to learn and go back in time.
Yes.
Go back to zero.
Yes.
Of my, because that's what theory, that's what psychology does. That's what the psychologists do.
Mm.
To go back and take a trip in time.
Yes.
How were you raised? What are the things that happened in your childhood? The social setting of your family? How did all these things impact on who we are?
Yeah,
and when you learn how to embrace them and how to deal with them, that's why they say some of us have outbursts.
Yes.
They're not because of who we are now, but they're trauma responses of things that happened like 20 years ago. The tears you didn't cry in your childhood, you're crying them as an adult.
Yeah, true.
That's why they say everything in life will catch up with you unless you deal with it. So yes, our social, our upbringing has a big role on our mental health. And that's why, again, I will go back to the fact as we conclude that everyone who carries a brain needs to be supported.
Yeah, is a candidate to mental health illness. Reason why we really need to be considerate, intentional on how we choose to live. As we conclude, your top three words when it comes to mental health.
Be kind.
Mm-hmm.
Be gracious.
Yes.
And listen.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, DK, for honoring our invite. Thank you for sharing your deepest moment when it comes to mental health experience. Thank you for the support system that you have or that is either back home to have this smile still, to have you back to back on creating content. I'm honored to have you on our first set. I believe we have so much to share when it comes to etiquette, civility, elegance. Looking forward to host you one more time or many more times. Have a lovely, lovely evening.
Thank you so much.